The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org on the net. Welcome to Prescriptions for Healing Conflict. I'm Lloyd, I'm the show's engineer, and your host is Mari Frank. Mari's been an attorney mediator for 26 years, and during that time she's resolved thousands of disputes as a neutral conflict healer. She's a member of the Orange County Superior Court Mediation Panel, and she's been a law professor of negotiations and mediation, and presently teaches negotiations right here at UCI. She's the author of Negotiations Breakthroughs and co-author of Stepping Stones to Success and several other books. To listen to previous interviews, see upcoming guests, download podcasts, and learn more, visit www.conflicthealing.com. So, Mari, what's your show about today?
Well, our show today is about how to diffuse difficult situations. And in fact, I'm going to interview a wonderful author. He is actually a co-author, William Perkey, of this great new book called Conflict to Conciliation, which is How to Diffuse Difficult Situations. Let me tell you a little bit about William Perkey. He is co-author of this book, and he is an EDD. He's a professor emeritus of consular education at the University of North Carolina, Greensboro, a beautiful place. And he's co-founder of the International Alliance for Invitational Education. He's a noted author, researcher, speaker, and leader. And he has authored nearly 100 articles and more than a dozen books. So we're really thrilled to talk to him about conflict to conciliation. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us, William.
Well, I'm glad to be with you.
Well, how is it that you and your co-authors ended up writing this wonderful book, Conflict to Conciliation?
Well, I think for years we have been working on emotional climate and interpersonal relationships and those types of things. We published widely, and we finally got to the situation where we wanted to think about inviting in the rain. When things are really going tough, it's fine to be inviting when the sun is shining, but it's difficult when things go bad. And so we decided to write a book entitled From Conflict to Conciliation.
Exactly. Now, you talk about the six C's. Why don't you explain to us, what is the six C approach to conflict management?
Okay, thank you. But let me make a preface, though, by saying we both know that conflicts can go from 0 to 100 miles an hour in seconds.
Yes.
All of a sudden, it blows up in your face. My grandson just graduated from college. He was closing out his roommate and had something about deposit. And he said, I'll sue them. You know, before he even thought about all the steps involved. So the 6C process is designed to start at the lowest possible level of concern and or potential concern, and then take it on up all the way to conflict, which we try not to do. So the 6C process basically looks at six levels, six steps in the process of getting things diffused. I'm going to run through them very quickly, and
okay.
then we'll go into them deeper.
Okay.
The first one, of course, is concern. Is this a matter of concern? The second is, well, if it's a matter of concern, confer. That's the second C, confer. Then if it's needed, you go to the third C, which is ratcheting up, moving it reluctantly to higher levels as you're kind of forced to do so. So the third is consult, which means you talk about what you've talked about, and I'll go into that too. And the next level is confront. Now we're getting deadly serious here. This is serious business. And the next step is combat. And we use that term as a verb and not a noun. We're combating the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the conciliation, which is the capstone. It's the purpose of the whole book. It's not enough just to resolve a conflict, as we'll get into.
Exactly. So How does a 6C approach help you handle difficult situations? I mean, it's easy to remember these 6Cs when things are just, you know, a little bit of a problem. But what if it's really a difficult situation, very challenging one?
All right, let me make up one, and then we'll take it from there.
Good idea.
Let's say that you're a manager, and you have an employee that comes late. This isn't a major thing, but it could be. The first is of questions, is this a matter of concern or not? It may be a concern, it may be just a preference, or it may be something that's not worth fighting over, it may be just temporary, it may not be something that happens all the time. So the first step is to say, is this a matter of concern? Well, coming late, if you're a respectable manager, you'll probably say, yeah, we've got to take care of it. So concern is simply ask yourself, if this is a preference or a matter of concern. Now, a preference, for example, I prefer not to people talk on a cell phone real loud when I'm in the vicinity. It's not a concern, but it's a preference. I'm a university professor, and some of my students will come in wearing a hat. Is that a concern? No, but it's a preference. So you have to kind of separate what it is you're talking about. Again, always fighting for the lowest common denominator to solve things with the least amount of energy in the quickest possible time.
And one of the things that people have to do, I think what's great about your stopping and asking, is this a concern, is to kind of check in with yourself. Because sometimes people, like let's say somebody's late and you say some offhanded remark like, oh, late again, or, oh, yeah, well, it's about time you joined us, you know. So by asking yourself when you feel like, oh, somebody's walking in late, if you stop for that moment and even ask yourself, is this a concern, that will probably help you not to just say something in a reactive mode by stopping and asking yourself that question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What we do with a concern, if you have something like coming late, you ask yourself, is this a really concern? And if it is a concern, is it a latent concern or an actionable concern? For example, a person may be late one time. And you think, okay, this is a latent concern. By that, I mean, I'll kind of keep my eyes on it and see what's happening here, but I'm not going to make a big fuss over it. I'm not going to make a big deal. If it's actionable, then you have to take action, which brings us to the second step, which is confer. But concern is really an important variable here because it's a major problem that we get into. A quick example, my wife ordered a nice rug for the living room, and she got it, but it had an odor to it. And our daughter was there, and we asked the people to come out and look and see what's going on. The person who sold the rug, the company, said, there's nothing wrong with this rug. Mm-hmm. And my daughter spoke up and said, well, we're going to stop payment on the check. And she said, well, we'll see you in court.
you get into that reactive
my head
mode.
Was swimming.
Yeah.
I know, well, how did that happen?
Yep.
It blew up in such a like a storm as you didn't expect. So concern is probably a very critical factor in this. Now, there are some concerns. There are legal concerns and moral concerns and ethical concerns. There are safety concerns that are pretty clear-cut. You don't have too many problems that if you were in a building, you see a blocked doorway, well, obviously that's a matter of concern and it's actionable. You have to do something about that.
Right.
But the main thing is to ask yourself, is this a matter of concern? Will it resolve itself? Is this the best time to be concerned? Can I do anything about this concern? I'm a concern because of my own garbage that I'm putting into it. You know, a lot of people get concerned because of their old hang-ups, you know. I can't stand those Afro haircuts, or I can't stand those bouffants. And you say, well, now, why are you, you know, don't you know the difference between a concern and a choice?
Well, you know, I think what happens, and I see this because I'm in the midst of conflict all the time. That's what I
do
for a living. And so I think sometimes I'll be sitting in a meeting and someone will say something and it's very benign. It sounds to me like there's no big deal. And the other person just goes nuts. And it's because some button got pushed that reminded that person of something else that happened with that employee or that employer or whoever it is that I'm resolving the dispute with. So I think part of this issue of rectifying what kind of concern is it, is also getting really in touch with what emotions you're feeling, because mm-hmm. every word that we speak can have an emotional, you know, something emotional that is aligned with it.
Right, right. You're, of course, a heavy part of the research that our book is based on,
mm-hmm.
is communication skills and body language and nonverbals and all the things that you and I talk about.
Right. But if someone gets mad, like your daughter-in-law or your daughter, uh-huh. you know, because she didn't like his attitude to, you know, to your wife saying, hey, you know, there's nothing wrong with this carpet. So she, that was like, how dare you say that to my mother? You know, I mean, I'm sure it went deeper. It wasn't just about the carpet. It's how dare you rip off my mother?
Uh-huh.
You know, and so yeah. that's what was really happening, you know, for her to say, well, we're not going to pay.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was the emotional part that really wasn't, you know, it wasn't the direct effect of this carpet has a smell. It meant more to her. Right?
Oh, yeah. So you have to listen very carefully to what's going on around you.
Exactly.
The first concern, we may have to bounce back to it, but the second I'd like to speak to just a moment, that is
sure.
confer.
Yes.
And that gets to your point that when you confer, we have certain things in the book, like you always do it alone. You never, if you can possibly avoid it, have any type of expression of concern in public, because of the static all around you, other people get involved, and it creates all sorts of secondary problems. We talk about confer. Let's go back to the person late for work.
Okay.
Confer. Now, we have a little formula, and I'm a believer in formulas. I like simple things to help me understand complex situations. And the simple thing that we've developed is called three pluses and a wish. Three little positive signs that I'm not here to fight. It could be your tone of voice. It could be your systems, smile, eye contact, all the little signals that we send that I'm really not here to argue or fight. So you put three little pluses, and then you make your wish.
Hmm.
For example, let's say somebody is late, and you walk into the room where you smile, and you say good morning, and you might ask about something, whatever, make it gently, and then you make your wish. This is important. And you state it clearly. I wish he would get here on time. See? That's my wish. And then you followed up and said, will you do that for me? Now, that will you do for that for me is very important, because that kind of sets it in. That makes commitment very important. So you say, will you do that for me? Now, some people are afraid to ask for what they want. They're afraid they might not get it. You'd be surprised. 9 times out of 10, when you ask somebody, will you do this for me? 9 times out of 10, they will. People like to be helpful. You know, and the lady said, would you get here on time? Would you be that for me? It is highly likely that that'll be taken care of, that your concern about lateness will go away. Now, a little step to this is try to avoid why. You know, most people walk in, first thing they'll say, Myron, you're probably well ahead of me on this, is, why are you late? Well, you're talking about opening a Pandora's box. You know,
yeah,
you can
yeah.
spend the next half an hour hearing about the baby's sickness and the doctor and the car and the this and the that and that. You know, you just want to solve your problem, your concern, with the least amount of energy in the quickest possible time. And that simply is three pluses and ask for the order. Make the wish, ask for the order. Are we together?
Yes, absolutely. Sounds great. But sometimes it is important to know if there is a very difficult time going on in the house. I think then you can work out something like, okay, you know, you have a very ill person at home for a period of time, and you're asking to be allowed to come late. You know what I mean? Sometimes you really do need to go a little
right.
bit further.
See, that comes later in the
okay, in the steps. Okay,
We're trying to work at a very low level now.
Okay. Okay.
We're not going to, anybody can ratchet it up.
Right.
Put it that way. Anybody can go from concern to combat. I mean,
yeah.
it doesn't require anything, any intelligence or any. So
or our sensitivity.
Or intelligence to keep
right.
things at a very low level.
But sometimes might want to tell you because, you know, there's a sensitive thing, and not talking about ratcheting up the conflict, but ratcheting up the understanding is what I'm talking about.
Right. Right. Okay. What we advocate. And of course, you know, this isn't cast in stone.
Right.
But it seems to work in most cases. We've taught it, and people come back all the time talking about how well it works and that type of thing. I had a student tell me that they'd gotten a out-of-state charge on their tuition bill, and it would destroy them if they had to pay it. He'd have to leave college.
Sure, sure.
And he wanted to go in there and raise Cain.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead, he used the 6C with it. You know, I love this university, and it's meant a lot to me, and I wish you'd be able to find a way to reduce this. Will you do that for me?
Yeah, yeah.
He said, Dr. Perkey, you've saved us over $1,200.
Exactly.
He couldn't believe it. So, you know, there comes a time when you talk about why. But in this pattern, you keep it back because it'll pick up all sorts of
things. Yeah, it isn't necessary. Yeah.
That right now you don't want to get involved in.
Okay.
You want to just solve your concern.
Right.
Okay. So we're going to move along because I know you've only got a few minutes. So we've got concern is the first move. Confer is the second step. Consult is the third. Now, suppose you did make the wish about the person coming late. And suppose they're late again. Aha. Then you're tightening up a little bit. You're going to consult. And consulting means that you call the person aside and said, Mary, remember, you told me that you'd get here in time. And you see the connection with what you did earlier. Will you do this for me?
Right.
The importance, you want to get a commitment.
Right.
If they give you a commitment, you say the fish is in the boat. You really got it when they gave you a commitment because that's what you want. So you sink it again. You say, you know, you told me that you'd get here on time. It's very important to me. Will you please get here in time? Would you do that for me? So you come back it again at consulting level. You're being pretty serious here.
Right, right.
And then if that doesn't go, and I'm going to give you the whole schmear, and then we can kind of bounce around.
Right.
If that doesn't work, you go to confront. Now, confronting is serious business. William Glasser, you may remember the name from the 1960s
sure.
and 70s.
Right.
He wrote a book, Schools Without Failure and Positive Addiction. And he talked a great deal about logical consequences, that people need to know the logical consequences of their actions. Well, that's true, and I agree. But you don't spring that early. That's a high card. This is dangerous business that we're getting into now. This is risky stuff.
Right.
You know, you may know if you're a history major, you know, Xerxes decided to invade Greece, and the Oracles of Delphi said, if you invade Greece, a mighty empire will fall. And he took that as, yeah, you should. Well, it was the Persian Empire that fell because of it. So this is dangerous business up here. We want to stay away as much as we possibly can. So confront, you're going to talk about logical consequences. Marie, if you continue to be late, I'm going to have to put this on your record, and you'll have a hard time getting a job, and I don't want to do that.
Right.
Will you please get here on time? Would you do that for me? You see, you're still seeking compromise. You're still seeking
agreement
for the individual.
Yeah.
The fact that they could make decisions for themselves.
Right.
So that's confront. Confronting is logical consequences. Now, the one that you try desperately to avoid, but sometimes it's just there it is. And combat is a verb. You're trying to combat the situation. You might have to take action. You may have to form a grievance. Let's switch it to another example real quick. Suppose a fellow employee is overly familiar. He calls you about a term that you don't like. You know, you feel it demeaning to be called that. You're a professional like he is, and you deserve to be respected. So you may have to take action, but you want that as a last resort. I'll give you a quick example, and if I'm using up too time.
No, it's good. It's great.
If you give me two examples, I had a secretary, an older secretary, you know, that kind of ruled the roost, and she got the idea it was real funny to call me Dr. Turkey. And when I walked in the morning, she said, hello, Dr. Turkey, and laughed. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a concern to me?
Yeah.
Yes. I have a right not to be
spoken
treated.
To
I don't
disrespectfully.
I don't like to be bugged.
Yeah.
People have a right to bug me.
Right.
And so I said, you know, Mary, I just value you, and you're one of the best executive secretaries I know, and I wish you would call me Dr. Perkey. Will you do that for me? And do you know that happened years ago, and she's never one time called me Dr. I won the whole trick with a low card.
Yes.
Which is what the game is all about.
Yeah. Why escalate if it doesn't need to be?
Exactly. And yet people will do it in spite. I will give 100 examples and my students say, well, that's what I do. And I say, all right, let's role play. And I'll give them another example, and bingo, they're right up in the combat stage in the wink of an eye.
Right.
So the one thing that our book stresses over and over is to play your low cards, work for conciliation at each step, show respect to the other person. Now, combat, and let me give you one more example that really bites you that it was a battle between the owner of a factory and the employees. The employees took the owner to court and won. When the time came for the owner to write the Christmas checks, the bank had Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's on it. He wrote the check, but he scratched out Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Oh, dear. Oh,
so dumb. You see, the battle was won, but it wasn't.
Right.
It still raged. It's only when you can move to conciliation that things begin to take on a healthy mode. If you're forced into combat, begin to think, how can I conciliate this situation? Now, apologies are not enough. I said I was sorry.
Right.
Well, I apologize, but that's not enough. You know, if I owe Jones $10 and I apologize, that doesn't get John his $10. You know, you've really got to go beyond that. You have to have a way of making amends for this. If you insult somebody in public, you must apologize in public. A little sidelight here, you know, that terrible event when the representative from South Carolina called the President of the United States a liar. Well, what happened then is when people raged, he said, I apologize to the President in private. Well, that is insufficient.
Right.
If you insult in public, you apologize in public. And that's a general principle for whatever you do. If you insult an employee, you don't go, but later you apologize in public before the faculty meeting or wherever it is. You know, I really regret saying that to Bill. And that's a way of reaching for conciliation.
When people do apologize, it's not like they're, it actually gets people to see them in a better light than if they don't apologize.
Oh, yeah. And any apology under duress means nothing.
Right.
You know, here's somebody who's caught in a tryst, and he said, oh, I'm real sorry, mainly because he's facing the penalties.
Right.
And he's before the judge. And, of course, you're the lawyer will know these. You know, gee, I'm sorry. No, under duress, it means nothing.
No. And also, sometimes when someone really understands, when you say, I'm sorry, there was no intent to hurt you, I realize that it did hurt you, and I'm very sorry for it, and I don't ever want to do that to you.
Exactly.
Then you're letting them know that you understand what they felt like, you really meant it, and you have no intention of doing that to hurt them again.
You're absolutely on target. And beyond that, you give them your word that this will never happen again.
Right.
So you're making your commitment. You're producing your wish that this will not take place. Now, another little thing about this that might seem to interest you and the audience maybe, is that the importance of intermediaries, that if you've really had a contact, let's say you've had a shootout with a colleague, you know, it's really gotten ugly, and you think, I don't want to spend my life going through just torment. Why my enemy's out there having a good time, and here I am filled with anger and frustration. So a lot of times you can find an intermediary, for example, a colleague or a family. You know, children do this all the time. If one child trips another and, you know, they argue and fight, they'll get Sally to come up and say, you know, Billy, Mary didn't mean to trip you. She doesn't mean that. So an intermediary is a wonderful way of reaching for conciliation.
Right. And that intermediary can bring people together and act like a mediator, like I do for a living.
Exactly.
They can.
That's
they
exactly
can,
true. I thought of that. That's a major role, I think, of a lawyer, of an attorney, is to mediate.
Well, not the litigators don't do that. Litigators will, you know, do the thing to escalate the conflict, but mediators say, okay, this is what happened. We hear you. You know, our hearts go out to both sides. We understand everybody was hurt or upset or angry, mm-hmm. and let's look at how do we resolve this now? How do we mm-hmm. do this so we make things better for the future?
Exactly.
And that's the conciliation part, is you can't change the past. You can't change it. You can look at it and understand it and hopefully apologize for it and find new ways of working together, or at least find new ways of respecting each other.
Absolutely. And you're right. What is done is done. Rather than beat over the ashes, let's look ahead and see what can be done about this. So what we have here so far is a simple little six-step mnemonic device that once you learn the six steps, it's easy to remember, it starts with a C. That you say, where am I in this situation? Am I at the confronting level already? Whatever happened to the first three steps, you know, judging about, is this a matter of concern? And have I conferred with that person using the three pluses and a wish? Have I tried to get a commitment? Now, sometimes you don't have time to go through these logical steps. This is not a silver bullet.
Right.
But sometimes you have to move to a pretty high level real quick. I had an older colleague that fell down the class. And I was teaching across the hall. And the student ran to get me, one student while the other. And the students grabbed, she was older and rather infirm, grabbed her to pick her up. And I said, no, do not pick her up. And they didn't hear. So I had to go to confront very quickly.
Right.
Do not pick her up.
Right.
And then they listened. I didn't have time to go through all those steps.
Well, when there's an emergency and you're trying to save somebody's life, yeah, then you have to jump to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that gets us back to what is a matter of concern. And I think we've talked about some of these, about there are legal concerns.
Right.
You know, that's something, it's a given. Some things you just got to do.
Exactly.
Right? it could be moral. There are some things that these are immoral or amoral, that these are some things you just shouldn't do. And then ethical things. And, of course, you and I are in the ethical business. And so ethics are extremely important.
Well, I love this book, Conflict to Conciliation. And I just want to announce to our audience what a wonderful gift you've given us, not only of your brilliance, but of another book that we can give away. So I want to make sure that if you're listening now and you want to get a free book, the first person who calls 949-UCI-KUCI will get a copy of this wonderful book by William Perkey, Conflict to Conciliation, How to Diffuse Difficult Situations. So the first person who calls right now, 949-UCI-KUCI, will get a copy of Conflict to Conciliation, and you'll give us your address and we'll send it to you, or you can pick it up at the university at UCI, and we'll tell you more about that. But I wanted to thank you so much, William, for joining us. And this book is terrific. I really love the six steps. In fact, I'm going to share that with my class, my negotiations class. I have a little strategy myself on how to diffuse conflict, but I love this one too. I think I'm going to incorporate it and let them know it's by William Perkey and let them see the book and all the good things that you're doing, because in this age right now, we all need to de-stress, we need to diffuse conflict and have a more peaceful life. So thank you, and we will make sure that people can also look at the website of your publisher, which is corwin.com, so you can go and see more about the book there. Thank you so much, William, for all your brilliance.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you.
All right. Well, we'll have you back again soon, and keep up all the great work for peace in our world. We appreciate it. Okay. You've been listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org on the net. I'm Mari Frank, the host of Prescriptions for Healing Conflict. And we'd love you to go to our website at conflicthealing.com, where you can look at the upcoming guests, you can listen to archived interviews, you can download podcasts, you can also see other things that we have about conflict healing. And join us next Monday morning at 8:30 a.m. for Prescriptions for Healing Conflict. And peace be with you.
It's about trust.
Expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.